You're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's the first week of December, and it's time for our monthly county government report. And here's our host for the program, Mr. Felix Belmont.
Thank you, Jeff, and welcome to our monthly Delta County Commissioner's Report. In this case, it is December. And following our system that we've always had, but we've done it a little more this year than previously, of diversifying by having some of the department heads as well as the commissioners themselves. And this month we are very pleased to welcome Ms. Ann Eddins, the county clerk and recorder. And sitting in with us as an observer is one of the deputy county clerks, Ms. Terry Stevenson. So, Ann, it's been quite a while since we've had you up here, and we haven't talked about the position of county clerk, and hopefully we have some new listeners that weren't listening in the last time we had you, and so on. So, very briefly, I'd like you to outline what are the what's in the job description for a county clerk and recorder, and what are your responsibilities? Actually, what do you do?
Thanks, Felix, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. The county clerk really has a variety of functions, probably more so than any other office. As the county clerk, you're also clerk to the Board of County Commissioners, so you're responsible for keeping their minutes. And we also have recording, where you record your real estate documents in our office. We do vital records, birth and death records, and motor vehicle licensing for your license plates for your cars.
That's under the county clerk?
Yes.
Not the Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
No, we are an agency for the state for the licensing of and titling of vehicles. And we then another big thing we have to do is elections.
Right. We'll get to the election in just a minute. Now, all these various recording things that you do, you've been doing this for a number of years. I would assume that most of this is computerized now, and it wasn't when you started. Am I correct?
You are correct.
So there must have been some big changes and some big learning processes going on over the years as the whole thing of computers and so on came in.
And we've been able to digitize our recording records, our real estate records, so you're able to go onto the county website and look on property or recorded documents and search the records, and you're able to look at the...
And you can do that from your home computer,
you
can?
You can't print copies, but you can look at them, and then you, if you need copies or something, you can come in and you know what
you
need.
Now, when you say you can't print them, are you saying you're not supposed to, or is there an actual electronic block there that
prevents... There's an electronic block.
Yeah, okay.
We do have title companies and real estate people and stuff that set up accounts with us where they have the capability to print, and surveyors and different businesses like that.
Since there isn't an election every month or so, this must be a big part or the bulk of what you do.
Well, probably motor vehicle and vital records, the birth and death records.
Goes on every day.
Yes, or our busier part. And believe it or not, it seems like elections is all the time anymore.
Right. Just very briefly, how did this last election this year go? You had a total mail-in ballot system. Am I correct?
And that is
how did it work?
It worked really well because it's basically how we've been doing it anyway. In the last, in the odd years when we have elections, Delta County's been doing mail ballots since 1993. So
I didn't realize it was that long.
It's really nothing new. And From now on, all of the ballots for all of the elections are going to be delivered by mail. You still have options how you want to get your vote back to us. You can drop it at a drop-off location. You can bring it to our office. You can mail it back. You can decide to come in and vote in person in an early voting scenario at the times we're open for that. So you have lots of options.
So you will mail the ballot to anybody that gives, even if they have a general delivery address, they don't have a home yet, or something.
There are ways to take care of people. Sometimes you can't just do general delivery, but you can. There are addresses you can set up to use.
Right. So nobody's getting deprived of a ballot because they have, maybe they are in between home ownership or something like that.
And it's very important, though, that you keep your address up to date because we are delivering them by mail. But you can go online to Go Vote Colorado. And you can change your mailing address at any time or your physical address so that we get you the right ballot style. And if you move from another county or to another county, they'll grab your voter registration information and get you registered in the right county.
Now, actually, even though Delta County is relatively small and the number of population, there are several different ballots in a given election, I believe, depending on where you live. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. We do have, in general election, we have two different representatives. We have House District 54 and 61, so you're going to have ballot styles according to that.
That's House District
54
and 54
and
61. 61, yeah. This is federal now.
State.
Oh, this is state now.
Mm-hmm.
State. Okay. Go ahead.
So that'll create a ballot style, a different ballot style there. If a municipality's having a question on the ballot, that creates another ballot style. Or a district, a special district,
yeah,
like the pool district or the library district encompasses the whole county, as does the school district. But there are ambulance districts and stuff that just, and fire districts that just encompass a certain area of the
right.
county. And your ballot style is going to depend on what all you're eligible to vote on.
Now, every 2 years for the House of Representatives and every 4 years generally, how do you handle the whole federal thing? Forgive me for using that word, on top of your county stuff.
Well, we're fortunate we only have one style for the, one representative represents the whole county. It's House District 3 for the Congressional District 3 would be the correct terminology. So we just have, and everybody else votes on the same. And our state senate encompasses the whole county.
And can that ballot, when you do that, can you add on the president, vice president, or something?
Yeah, whatever's eligible to be
voted on.
Correct.
On a federal basis, you can add to that.
Yeah, you put the federal candidates in the you kind of put the federal candidates first, then comes the state candidates, and then the local candidates.
Okay. Are there any voting machines in Delta County?
We have electronic voting equipment, and we have to have it available. It's handicapped accessible, and we have to have it available for all elections.
Since the election is primarily a mail ballot, do you still have to have any precinct voting locations?
No, we, with the advent.
How does that work?
At the advent of House Bill 1303, we have now, they're called VPSCs, VSPC, I get the acronym mixed up, Voter Service Polling Centers. And that, at the based on your size of your county, you have to have so many of them. We only are required to have one, but we have two because we try to provide service to the North Fork also. So at the annex in Hotchkiss, we have one available there where you can do everything that you would do in our office.
Let me say, if you happen to join us a few minutes late after the beginning of our monthly Delta County Commissioner's Report, we're talking today with Delta County Clerk and Recorder Ann Eddins. And one of the major responsibilities of a county clerk and recorder is organizing, setting up, supervising, and whatever elections, whether they be municipal, county, state, federal, or whatever, whatever happens to be. It's a major function and a most important one, obviously, of the county clerk and recorder. And this is what Ann Eddins is telling us about, how she does it here in Delta County. Incidentally, is this thing of the county clerk handling elections the way you do, is this universal throughout the state? Is there a uniform system?
Yes, and I think with the passage of House Bill 1303 last year, it makes all of the counties doing the elections the same way. So we don't have some doing vote centers and some doing polling, just polling place. It makes us all doing the same process.
Do we still have election boards? Didn't we used to?
Not since I've been here.
So that's something of the past.
I believe okay. So. And some counties may have had an election commission, but those seem to have gone away with the change in laws.
Is this system more or less predominant throughout the United States, do you know, or do other states do it differently? Just as a matter of curiosity, not that we care here, but...
Colorado is unique. This is what fits Colorado.
Yeah, we think so in a lot of ways.
But I think our election process fits our Colorado voters. It gives them the convenience of getting their ballot by mail, but yet it enables them to go vote on election day if they want to, and or go vote early in person if they want to. We still have all of the options available, or just fill out their ballot at home and drop it off at a location. And I think we have tried to make it more convenient for the voters, more accessible to the voters, so that, and with our statewide voter registration system, everything we do is live. So if one voter moves from another county into our county, we issue him a new ballot. It cancels his old ballot. If he's already voted a ballot in that county, he can't vote again.
Okay, that leads into my key question to you. And keep your temper. Now don't. Recently in the press, there was an article based presumably on a nationwide survey of the states. And it, according to this article, it was found that there were many counties in many states, more so in the Middle West and West than in the East, where there were many more voters on the voter rolls, presumably registered voters, than there were either live people or people qualified to vote and so on. In this article, if I remember it correctly, there were 10 counties in Colorado where, according to this report, this situation existed. Delta County was not listed. I want to be very fair. But there were nearby counties where, according to their voter registration rolls, there were more people on paper qualified to vote than there were people. And it was further alleged that in some places, and I'm not saying Colorado or anything, but it was alleged that at least there was the possibility that some people, some party could vote these non-existent names in order to sway the thing and so on. Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with it. And I think in Colorado what's happened, a lot of counties have a lot of people that they call snowbirds.
Yeah.
That spend the winter parts of the months in a warmer climate and then come back for the summer. And a lot of these people aren't counted on the census. So it doesn't show, but this is their home. This is where they choose to have their prime. This
their
is
residence of record. Yeah.
So when they vote in Colorado, but they're not counted in the census in Colorado, it makes it look like there's people, more people voting than there are here, where it's actually not the case.
Yeah, this was not stated in this article, and I reading the article, I strongly suspected that the thing was purposely slanted one way or another. It didn't tell the whole story. But if you just read it, it sounded like, boy, there's the potential for a lot of fraud going on here. So my question leads up to, and I'll just put it to you, how accurate are your voter registration lists?
We update them continually. We receive updates from the state vital records about deaths and stuff so that we can remove people that have passed away off the voting roll. But we, if someone passes away out of state, or
you may not know about it.
We may not have a record of that or be able to do it without the family notifying us about it. And in Colorado, we verify every signature on a ballot. So if your signature does not match.
You actually do?
Yes.
And how is that verified? Is it by the computer or by some live person looking at it?
In our county, it's by a live person looking at
because it. Because we're small enough, we can handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if the signatures don't match, then we send a letter to the voter and tell them our signatures don't match. If this is their signature, they have an opportunity to send us a copy of their ID and sign an affirmation that that's their signature, and then we'll count their ballot. If they don't send that back, then we turn those records over to the DA for him to investigate it further. So we check it out.
Let me ask you this. We change county clerks and recorders occasionally. Either they don't run again or they retire, or maybe they're term limited. I don't know. So we got a new one. And presumably the new occupant of the office has to start all over again. How do you learn all this stuff? To put it very crudely.
Well, I had an advantage having worked in the office for almost 8 years before I became clerk. So that helps a lot. And then you just have to immerse yourself in all the laws and everything that go on that affect your office and read the statutes and the rules and you're learning a lot.
Does the state conduct any kind of schools or instruction sessions or seminars on this thing?
We have, the clerks have conferences generally twice a year, and then we have regional meetings generally twice a year, and we conduct training at all of these.
Yeah. So do you find the situation is relatively the same throughout the state, or are there big differences? What's been your experience in that?
And how do you mean, Felix?
I mean in the system and how they conduct the election and so on.
And I think as I've – elections really changed a lot and after I was elected with the Help America Vote Act because it required states to do a lot of different things. And I think the state has been very proactive in training people and keeping abreast of all the rules. And plus the legislature on issues that affect our office – we may follow 70 to 80 bills every year that just affect our office. They don't all get a pass, thank goodness, but we have to stay on top of them as to
okay,
how
they'll... Okay, that's one more responsibility of the county clerk and recorder.
Correct.
To see what the legislature is doing almost every day. I mean,
and we have committees in our association, and we do a lot of conference calls regularly to stand abreast of what's going on so we can contact our legislators if we need to.
I'm sure it happens very, very rarely, but is there a system or a procedure in existence for someone to challenge a vote of somebody else or to challenge their eligibility to vote? As I say, I'm sure this is really far out, but just as a matter of interest.
There is statute and rules governing challenges and exactly how you handle them.
Right. Suppose someone, for some reason, just felt that somebody voting just they weren't eligible or something like that. How would they go about it? Very briefly.
If they see it happening, they can challenge their ability to vote, and then the person that's being challenged has to answer a set of questions about it, and if they answer them adequately and affirmatively that they're eligible to vote, then it's sign an affidavit and everything, then they get to vote.
Yeah. Another thing that occurs to me, which I think is very important, how do you get young people what is the voting eligible voting age, by the way? Is it 18 or 21?
It's 18, but you can also register now when you're 16.
You can register.
But you can't vote until you're
right.
18.
Okay. What is the system? What's there to plus inform, educate, and encourage young people to get registered so they can vote when they become eligible?
And some schools do some training, and we're always happy to go out and visit with the schools and inform them of what.
And do you do that occasionally?
Occasionally, but I haven't done that much lately.
But you would do it if you were invited.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This just occurred to me. I hadn't thought about it, but I can remember back in the just shortly after the dinosaur age when I became eligible to vote, and I was all excited to attain the age when I could go voting. And I remember the first time I voted, and in my life it was a big deal, and I just was wondering if young people today are as interested and if they really look forward to it and make an effort to get registered and to vote when they become eligible.
I think you see a lot of young people very excited to be able to vote in an election.
Yeah.
They make a special effort to come in and make sure they're registered.
They do. You have people coming in.
Oh, yes.
I'm just a little confused about why this thing, you can register at 16, but you can't vote or anything until 18. Why is this was a state law?
It was, and I believe it was just passed this past year.
Yeah. What do you think was the purpose of that?
It gets people registered to vote so gets that when they turn 18.
Okay, gets them thinking about it, yeah.
And they will get their ballot delivered to them in the mail. And the main thing is keeping their address updated.
Yeah. What, beside the address thing, what procedure does a young person who is coming up for their first year of eligibility to vote, what do they have to do to establish their eligibility?
They can just go on. If they've got a driver's license, a Colorado driver's license, they can go online and register to vote at Go Vote Colorado.
Oh, you can vote. You can register online.
You can, as long as you have a Colorado ID or driver's license.
Yeah. Which is probably almost universal.
Most people do.
Most people do. So you make it quite easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very
interesting. And you can register to vote when you get your driver's license or change your address on your driver's license.
Oh, you can register when you get a driver's license.
You can.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you don't have to go to a different office or a different building or something like that. Is that well publicized? Do people know about it, or are there signs up there that says you can?
That's one of the questions they ask you. If you are registered to vote, do you want it registered to vote? And it's a question they ask you.
That's very good. I didn't know that. Okay, we have only 2 or 3 minutes here. We're talking to Ann Eddins, the county clerk and recorder. And she's spent, as we planned, most of our program discussing elections and how these things work. Is there any other phase of this election thing you think of that we haven't touched on? Or is there something you want to say to all the listeners and voters and potential voters?
I think because we're delivering by mail, it's really not changed much of anything for voters, even because we were already doing all the elections but the general election every 2 years by mail. And 78% of the people in the general election voted by mail anyway. So we're really not changing things much. Not doing the polling places on election day, you can come and get a ballot on Monday, the day before. You weren't able to do that before because we had to get poll books ready for the polling places. And now, since we're not doing that anymore, you can, and everything is live in our voter registration, you can come do everything on Mondays. We had people before that sometimes would plan to vote on election day and suddenly they'd not be able to be there, and we couldn't issue them a ballot. We're now able to do that.
Well, it seems like you've a real improvement in the system, and it certainly is. It seems to me that it must be cheaper to do it this way than you, because you were paying all these poll watchers and all these people at when you had polling places. Am I correct?
I think it'll be cheaper in the general election because we won't have as many judges as we had. But the other elections, because we're mailing to more people, expenses offset each other a little bit. But the delivery by mail, I believe, works much better for the people because we're able to get the ballot to them and then they have an opportunity to vote it.
Well, that's great. That's just about our time for today. We've been talking with Ann Eddins, the county clerk and recorder, and she has given a most comprehensive, very interesting rundown on how our election system operates, and it seems to me that it's quite comprehensive and quite fair for all concerned. And we do appreciate your coming up here today, Ann, and giving us this rundown, and I hope everything goes off fine. So, for KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.